isn't Brenda the best? Let's turn it up. Let's turn it on. Jody Vacantino is singing that song.
Live on your computer and various other places, Bag of Goodies Productions and Alan Parsons Productions presents another episode of The Josie Show, special edition number 21. Tonight, Josie welcomes actor Reed Alexander. I'm Alan Firestone with Tina Passantino. And now, because she only wants to be famous if she gets to have her very own bathroom, Josie Passantino.
Okay, please, Alan, tell me how you come up with these intros, because I feel like they're getting crazier and crazier with each episode. So you just please teach me. Please teach me your ways. So hey, everybody, and welcome to the Josie Show Special Edition. It is definitely a special edition because we get to talk with Reed Alexander tonight. And I am super, super thrilled, and I love his book. I got it. It's called Cool Bites, and we're going to be talking a lot about that tonight and where you guys can get it and all that fun information. So stay tuned to the whole show. We have a lot of great things coming at you, and so it's going to be so great. So now, how about we just get right to it, because I know he is on the line. So everyone, please welcome the most talented. Just, he's so great. You all know him as Neville Pepperman from iCarly. And now he has a new project out called Cool Bites. So here we go. Let's put him on. Hello.
Hi, Josie. Yeah. Thank you for the great intro. Great to be with you tonight.
Thank you. Thank you. I've been working on it. Thank you. I hope I did it justice.
How are phenomenal. You? And then some. I'm very flattered through the phone lines.
I'm glad. And I am super excited that you're joining me tonight. Thanks so much for coming on.
It's my pleasure. Thank you for the invite. You have such an awesome show. I'm very excited to be talking to you. And, of course, fingers crossed that we're going to get lots of great questions from everyone out there in the cyberspace universe and on social media and all your listeners. I think it'll be a really fun conversation.
I definitely feel like it will be. I am very, very excited about it. Everyone's been very excited on Facebook and Twitter, so I know there's going to be a lot of fan questions, and we'll try to get to as many as we possibly can.
Excellent.
Don't worry. We'll try not to flood you with questions, but no promises.
So, bring it on.
Yes. So first off, I wanted to start off with our interview with, can you share with us why you wanted to put out your book, Cool Bites? Why is this so important to you?
Definitely. No, it's a good question. And for those listeners who probably know my work best from Nickelodeon on iCarly and Sam and Cat, perhaps hearing that I've been on the book tour circuit doing recipes might come out of left wing or out of the woodwork, so to speak. But it's been a big passion of mine now for 5 years, cooking and health and wellness. And growing up, I was an overweight teen with a family history of diabetes and heart disease. So it's been an issue that's really hit home for me. I've always been a huge food lover. I don't know about you, but I'm always hungry. I don't know if you have that same syndrome. Right, exactly. We're on the same page on that one. On the same radio wavelength, so to speak, right? No pun intended.
Right.
But yes, exactly. No, but I love food, and I love eating out at great restaurants or discovering great meals and recipes. Never really grew up in a household that emphasized cooking, though. We were always kind of that, you know, fast food or takeout or on-the-run household growing up. That was just the way our family worked. But a couple years ago, around 14, I looked in the mirror, was really unhappy with what I saw in terms of my weight. I didn't feel well. And I think, like many kids out there, I was just at a loss, you know, where to turn, what would have the right solutions for me, because there was nothing out there from a kid's or a teen's point of view that would have those answers. Everything was like a diet for adults or something temporary or something that slashed the carbs and cut the fat, nothing really for a comprehensive lifestyle approach. So I did what we do all the time on set. I just rolled up my sleeves and I decided to improvise and kind of make my own way, because after all, it works just as well on the soundstage as it does in the kitchen at the stovetop. And I started to demystify all my favorite recipes. So it was kind of like kitchen chemistry. I was breaking things down and thinking, well, how can I have pizza or apple pie and still make them delicious, but find a way to lighten them up, cut back on the fat, or kind of trim back on all the extra sugar, things like this, so that I could still be satisfied in terms of taste and have delicious food and not be bored, because I knew that would just lead to veering off track, but without depriving myself either, and finding that way to drop the weight. So eventually I lost 15 pounds, started to feel so much better. I discovered all these tips and tricks that worked for me, and that was 5 years ago. So I guess the net-net, the kind of long story short, is that eventually I decided I wanted to share what I learned to spackle up that big void that I encountered, that dearth of information from a kid's perspective, and I decided to, you know, fill that hole myself. And I launched Kewl Bites, my website, K-E-W-L Bites, in case anybody wants to surf over, .com, of course. And initially just started out with a couple recipes, some blogs, some strategies that worked for me, and a few, like, A-list celeb interviews with my friends in Los Angeles, kind of unlocking their secrets for wellness. And it just exploded from there, and all of a sudden we started getting readers who weren't just kids, but also moms and, you know, PE coaches and trainers and doctors using Kewl Bites as a resource. And along the way, I started cooking on TV. I grew a recipe kind of library online of 100 recipes, started contributing to a lot of great publications in the media and on newsstands. And about 2 years ago, I realized, you know, I think the next step is to transition from a digital hub of information to something that's tangible that you can hold in your hands. And that was the genesis behind my book. That was the inspiration for Kewl Bites. And it came out now just a few months ago. And it's been so much fun to travel across the country and even internationally and to share these recipes and to meet the readers and to see the great reaction that it has been met with overall. So a great experience for sure.
Absolutely. And I love the concept of putting your, you know, favorite foods that you know, because I'm a pizza lover and I'm Italian. So
yum. Oh, my gosh. Wow. So it runs in your DNA. So, like, you can't just be satisfied by the run-of-the-mill pizza. It's got to be good stuff.
That's what I'm saying. Exactly, exactly. And you have, like, turkey meatballs in your cookbook that I tried, and they're, like, delicious. And just so many
excellent
recipes. Yes.
Thank you so much.
No problem, no problem. Thank you, because they're so good. And I love that you can put, you know, great, you know, foods like pizza that everybody loves and enjoys, but also kind of make it into a healthy way and still let kids enjoy pizza.
You know, that is the goal. You just summed it up right there. You know, kids like, I mean, I have craved for years things like pizza or chicken nuggets. We just were talking on Twitter the other day with all the followers about their fast food favorites. I mean, I love burgers. Who doesn't? I crave all these kinds of foods. Love desserts. I have a big sweet tooth. But how boring would life be if you knew that in order to feel your best, you'd have to kind of say goodbye to all these favorites? And I totally am on board for the everything in moderation principle, but that doesn't mean that 99% of the time you have to be eating, you know, grilled chicken and steamed broccoli, as nutritious as that is for you, and the other 1% of the time you can kind of splurge. There has to be a happy medium, and that's what Kewl Bites is all about.
Absolutely. I love that. I love the concept for that. I think that is so, so cool, and it's really great for kids, and I know that you developed a special menu for lunch recipes to be served at school that children tested and loved and are now implemented in schools in 50 states every day and serving over 30 million students. That is incredible. Can you tell us about that? Wow.
Thank you, absolutely, and thanks for bringing that up. That has been such an exciting campaign. So we started that about a year and a half ago, and it has been a big honor for me to have that opportunity and also to work with President Clinton. He's a good friend. He's a great mentor. And we initially partnered up through his Clinton Foundation and the largest domestic program that they have here in the U.S. It's called the Alliance for a Healthier Generation. And it's been a huge movement and an organization that has really changed the way kids and families approach wellness and the accessibility of healthy foods, but with a real emphasis on schools, which I think is such an important part of the equation, because it's not just at home. It's not just outside when you're doing exercise. It's really on campus and in the cafeteria. And growing up for me, school lunch was one of those things I always dreaded. I remember the anxiety from seeing the tater tots and the hot dogs, and nothing was delicious. In fact, there was a point in, like, middle school where I would skip lunch altogether and be so hungry when I came home. So I realized, you know, there's got to be a way to find a cure for kids out there who are in the same boat. And those who are maybe kind of overdoing it on the cafeteria line and finding some choices that aren't so good for you, that we would give an A-plus on the nutrition report card at school, so to speak. So I teamed up with the president and with his team at the Alliance, and we decided to create a special menu of recipes, as you said, that we initially test piloted after I had the chance to cook them up and then kind of run all the nutrition stats, make sure that they jive with the Alliance's very strict nutritional policies and those of the First Lady through her Let's Move program that she's championed. And we launched them in 9 school districts. We test piloted them to see what kids thought. The reactions were through the roof. Honestly, if I told you, I mean, I got to visit some of these schools on the days when we would launch these recipes to kind of do basically a school focus group, so to speak. And I mean, kids were saying, you know, I think one said something like, this recipe bounces off my taste buds. I mean, what higher praise than that from like a fifth grader who has no inhibitions in telling you this is the worst stuff ever, but loved it, you know? And then another student said, this is the best food I've had. So that was a great compliment. And we decided, because of the resounding success in these schools, we were ready to launch it across the board. And now these healthy recipes that have gone from my kitchen to the cafeterias, I'm very privileged to say, are in, as you say, for 30 million students, 20,000 schools across America every day. So it's been fantastic, and they're everything from, we call them salad pizzas, so basically the kids get to choose a whole grain flatbread or something of the like that they love, and then pile on all their favorite toppings at these special salad bars or Cool Bites kiosks, as we called them, that are in the schools now, all these different toppings, homemade dressings, of course, lettuce, so many nutritious things. Then we have pre-made ones that are inspired by some of my favorite flavor combinations. One of those is a south of the border kind of Mexican fiesta in a bowl. So there's cilantro and black beans and a lime vinaigrette. It's just delicious. And then there are Asian salad inspired ones. It's a whole range of options. But we've kind of really elevated the level of cuisine in the schools and also made sure that it's healthier too. So parents can feel good and kids can get excited that they get to customize their own choices and enjoy them at the same time.
Yes, and I think that's the most important thing. And I remember when I was in public school, I'm homeschooled now, but I remember going into that cafeteria and there was, you know, food that, let's be quite honest, it didn't taste all that great, but then they had, but then they had, you know, people were just crowding the section where there was like tons of chips and cookies and brownies, and that's all they would eat, and it was horrible.
I know. I'm a big music fan, so I think of everything in terms of music. And if you had to, that's like the sold-out concert section. And unfortunately, the salad bar and the places where you're going to find some of those healthier choices tend to be a little more desolate, shall we say. So the goal for us is finding a way to reverse that and make some of those areas some of the more popular places. Because after all, I mean, I know it's a little boring when you see, like, the carrots sitting there and, you know, sometimes the dried cranberries, whatever. And then on the other side, you've got like that hot food counter with all of those more menacing choices, everything deep fried. But you know what? If you really take some time to put your own spin on these recipes, as we've tried to do, and have really, you know, for me, it's been a very educational process as well, because, you know, growing up in school, I never knew the process of getting the ingredients into the cafeteria. I never really thought about the people who are behind there in the kitchens cooking or how the budgets work so that you only have maybe a dollar per lunch tray to serve with each student. So how do you stretch that dollar and then find the suppliers and the producers who can get the ingredients there? But it was an entire, almost like a mathematical kind of equation that we had to put together behind the scenes over many, many months to be able to roll out these recipes. So when they did finally launch, we felt it was a big accomplishment, and I had the chance to kick off the campaign with President Clinton at a big summit, and we talked about things like this. Because, you know, it's very different when you think about going from, like, the president in the Oval Office down to the school cafeteria, but that's where you all grew up. Those are the trenches where you have to start approaching. So, you know, it was really fun, but it was also a very informative and very particular experience, too. But I totally hear you about, you know, the brownies and the cheesecake and all these things in school that would always just kind of fly off the countertops, right?
It's true. It's true. And I always wanted to know, because you have such great recipes in Cool Bites and now, you know, ending up in schools, How did you find these great recipes or make these recipes and test them out to make sure that they taste great yet are healthy?
Well, this is a funny story, actually. So about 8-9 years ago now, we moved into this really beautiful apartment in South Florida where I'm from, a little town called Boca Raton. I don't know if you've ever heard of it. It's not very big. It's probably like an hour north of Miami. And my mom was like, she insisted that we had this really great kitchen. Now, here's the irony. She never cooked. None of us ever did going back 10 years ago. And this was a time when it was actually pre-iCarly, I think, but we were still on a plane. I was working on a different show on NBC at the time. So we're out in Los Angeles, back and forth every couple weeks. There really wasn't time to get into the kitchen. But when I decided that I was ready to create Cool Bites and that I was ready to change, like, my dietary habits, how lucky was I? Because even though we didn't have all the really fancy pots and pans and all this, we had this really good untouched kitchen with plenty of space for me to spread out and make a mess and turn it into my test kitchen, basically, my office. And the kitchen really is the heart of the home. You know, so it was the perfect place for me to roll up my sleeves and start developing these recipes. But all the recipes on CoolBites.com and all the recipes in the book, I've had the chance to develop from scratch myself, which has been so much fun. Because I think if you look chronologically at the very first recipes on the site, they were probably a little more simplistic than some of the more recent ones and some of the ones in the cookbook, because I've gotten to learn. I've always watched the Food Network, and I kind of think of it as like basically TV cooking school, you know, that you beam into your home. And I'm sure there are fans out there. So many people love their favorite chefs, kind of tune in religiously to see them. Even if you don't cook their recipes, you know, it's kind of therapeutic just to watch.
It is.
So, right? You know what I mean? It's a very relaxing, fun experience. Kick back with like a cup of tea on the couch and watch Giada or Bobby Flay. Who knows? You know, the people that you really enjoy tuning into, certainly as I do. But anyway, what I'm really getting at is eventually it all kind of fell into place. All the pieces of the puzzle lined up. I got into the kitchen and I started thinking, what kinds of foods do I want to create? This was a very authentic experience way back when, because there wasn't even a Cool Bites. It was just about really finding a way for me to feel better. And as I said before, things like pizza, apple pie, desserts, snacks, very important, granola bars, breakfast, you know, omelets, frittatas, basic stuff like this. And I started learning about the way, you know, the kitchen works and the way food works. And I think I'm kind of self-taught in that way, but anyone can do it. It's not particularly a hard thing. It just takes time and experiencing different kinds of foods. But the first recipes were born out of the kinds of foods I wanted to eat, you know, because they were really just for me. So maybe it was chicken nuggets without deep frying them, but baking them with a really crispy kind of panko breadcrumb coating, which is actually something that made it into the book, one of the originals that ended up now being on shelves most recently. And then from there, I started getting a lot of requests on Twitter, on Facebook. You know, can you cook this? Or my daughter is gluten-free. She wants to eat XYZ. Or my son only likes pasta and my husband only likes burgers. It's really hard to just put one dish on the table. What advice can you give us? Or, you know, we love, I don't know, blueberry cobbler, but it's full of butter and sugar. Is there anything you can do for my mother-in-law who's diabetic coming over next week? You know what I'm saying? So just some natural requests that started filtering their way in. And that was fun for me because just like on set every week, you know, when they give us our scripts and we have to start memorizing our lines and go about, you know, doing our jobs, very much the same way in the kitchen. People would come with these questions or these inquiries, and then I would get in the kitchen and hope to provide an answer. And that's how the site started growing and reaching more people, and the recipes started kind of filling up. And it was a really fun process. But particularly for the book, when I started writing it, it was 6 months nonstop in the kitchen. It was a really intense experience. It was like 3 recipes a day that I was testing, just me. And my mom was a good sport. She always volunteered to do the dishes. I tried, but I'm not as good at cleaning up as she is.
Right.
And eventually, you know, I was kind of worn out by the end of this, but it was a really fun thing to do. And every day I'd have my friends and family come over. I'm lucky. I'm surrounded by people who have good taste buds and are honest, which is what you need when you're a cook. You want people to analyze the recipes and tell you whether it needs more more salt, whether it's really great, whether it's not good enough, who knows, whether it needs to be crispier, you name it. Could be any one of these factors and more. And that helped me because then I'd go back to the drawing board the next day and revise what I made the day before. But there was a whole art to this, and we could get into all that. But I guess the point of what I'm saying is it was a fun process. I still do it today. I've now moved to New York City, and I'm always discovering great new farmers markets and places to stumble upon good ingredients and exotic things I haven't used before. And that's another way that many recipes start to abound, as it were.
Wow. I think that is so, so cool. And your family are just such great sports for, you know,
I'm lucky they are. They're willing to take it. No matter, even if they don't like certain kinds of foods, they'll always take a bite for me. And I can kind of give them some guilt. And, you know, they're always on board. They're really, really good at it, though. And we have fun.
I love that. But you need that because, you know, who's going to be more honest than family? They need to tell you whether it's, you know, good or bad so then you know what to put in the book. It's actually smart.
Absolutely. And no one's more honest than my grandma. She never holds back.
There
She's the coolest person. I feel like everyone should meet my grandma at some point. She's so much fun. When I lived in Florida, we'd start every day by going to Starbucks. We have our little rituals, so we're really close. So all of my recipes always needed to be vetted by her. But she is like the coolest, trendiest, most wired person around. She's probably listening to this right now as we broadcast live. And but in terms of her taste buds, she and I love very similar kinds of foods. It was nice to hear from her, you know, you're kind of hitting the mark or maybe you need to go back to the drawing board. But you're right, family always willing to step up to the plate and hopefully no inhibitions to make you feel good about something when it does need extra work.
Exactly, exactly. And another thing, you mentioned former President Bill Clinton. He talked so highly about you and everything. And I've seen a picture of you and Bill Clinton. Please tell me your reaction when you first met him, because I bet it was
Of course. This is one of my favorite stories to tell. It was insane. Because I'm a huge news junkie, and if anyone follows my tweets, they know that I like to think of myself as the Twitter News Network, TNN, you know, instead of CNN, because I'm always tweeting out the headlines and all this. And, of course, anyone who watches the news is always going to see, you know, President Obama, President Clinton, Hillary Clinton, all of these people making headlines all the time. So the very first time that I met President Clinton, it was kind of bizarre because I felt like at first, oh, well, you know, there's President Clinton. I see him all the time on TV, and the TV is, what, 10 feet away from me? So, I mean, I was used to seeing his face. But then I realized, no, this is real life. And I thought, you know, what an honor to be invited here to one of his summits, which is where I first met him, at a Clinton Foundation conference. The first one ever, called Health Matters, being held in Palm Springs in California. It's one of my favorite places. It's kind of like the Boca Raton of California, if anyone's ever been there, or to Boca. Just imagine my hometown in the desert with a few cactus plants, you know, and, and then the entire mirage all comes together, the illusion. But I went up to the president, and initially I thought, oh, I'll just shake his hand and say hi. He's a very busy man. He's probably not watching iCarly in his spare time, you know, he's not going to know Neville rue the day. But we got into this really fantastic conversation. We talked for about 15 minutes, all about different issues relating to health and wellness and the work we did together through the Alliance. And, you know, the amazing thing about President Clinton is what dawned on me when I was talking to him, this is a man who has traveled the world, who's gone toe-to-toe with the North Korean dictator, who has had tea with the Queen, and is someone who's so inspirational because after he left the Oval Office, he immediately set about becoming a real humanitarian, and from Africa to Haiti to Asia and everywhere in between, improving the lives of people at home and abroad. So a great example of someone who used their platform to do a lot of good, even after they left the traditional vestiges of power, I suppose you could say. And he is just such a down-to-earth guy. I mean, for all you know, he could just be your brilliant, super smart, super accomplished next-door neighbor. He is so relaxed, and he really puts you at ease. I think the thing that's always said about President Clinton is he makes you feel like you're the only person in the room when he talks to you, because even though there are a million things going on, and he's got Secret Service and his whole staff, he is so, so personable, and I completely felt that. And I met him a couple times since, and he's always been a great supporter. But last year, as my book was coming out, he was the first person that I shared an advance copy with because I've always admired him, and he's been a great friend along the way. And he offered to write a really nice quote on the cover of the book, which he did, calling it a valuable guide for a new generation. And that was just the biggest gift and more. So he's someone I really think is phenomenal, and I'm very grateful for the chances I've had to work with him and his team. And I'm excited to continue that work and to see where we go next.
Yes. I mean, come on. That is such huge motivation. I mean, hearing from Bill Clinton that he's proud of the work that you are doing and continue to work, that is some motivation, I tell you.
That's so kind. Thank you. I really appreciate that. You know, it definitely it felt good. And, I mean, I feel the same way about his family. I think irrespective of the partisan world we live in, no one can say that they don't have a lot of energy and that they don't use it to do a lot of good. So it's been nice to see how he has, as I said before, used his platform. And I think my favorite moment was I said to him, I was on a panel that day talking about health in schools that was moderated by Chelsea Clinton, and I said, you know, your daughter, Chelsea, she's so talented. She's a great moderator. She's a great, you know, reporter for NBC News, and you could just see the pride he felt. So at the end of the day, he's a dad. He is a mentor. He's a humanitarian, and he also happens to be a former president all in one, which is really cool.
That is super, super cool, and such a great opportunity. And another opportunity that is huge is I've seen that you met many culinary experts, such as Rachel Ray. Now, I'm a fan of Rachel Ray.
She's great, right? Me too.
Yes, yes, yes. Can you tell us a little bit about that and any other cooking shows or chefs that you enjoy watching? What do you like to watch?
Of course, of course. You know, I've had a chance. I've been really fortunate, I guess, in that way. Just over time, you kind of come across these people because we're at a lot of the same events, whether it's like the South Beach Wine and Food Festival or the New York Wine and Food Festival. I've gotten to visit the Food Network headquarters, and let me just tell you, people go to like the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. You know, they go to Paris and see the Eiffel Tower. For me, that like stopped my heart. I was in heaven. I think they had to call security to like kick me out. I never wanted to leave. I was so obsessed with every corner and every kitchen set because seeing that was like making a pilgrimage. It was really, really cool for me. But, yeah, I've met Rachel. She's really fantastic. I've watched her for years. In fact, she was the first Food Network star that ever kind of hooked me to the network. I used to come home every day up until fifth or sixth grade when I started traveling a lot, but I try and do it every chance I can now. And I would sit down, I think it was at 4 o'clock, I'd get home from school, I'd lay out all my homework, turn on the Food Network, and I felt like Rachel was right there with me. I was doing my homework, she was cooking dinner. 30-minute meals. It was the perfect combination. So meeting her in person finally was really, you know, stellar. And I've also worked with her through her website, rachelray.com. We produced a really cool series of videos that everyone can go and check out if they have time on tips and party tricks and ideas, just easy, healthy things you can do at home to stock your pantry or to make breakfast for your kids, whatever it might be, that are fast and simple, kind of very much in keeping with Rachel's philosophy. Guy Fieri is another favorite. You know who's a really big favorite is a good friend of mine, Robert Irvine. He's a brilliant chef. I love all his shows from Dinner Impossible to Restaurant Impossible, and he's also really into fitness, so great guy. Let's see, Giada De Laurentiis. I've always loved her food. I want to check out her new restaurant in Las Vegas, which looks amazing that she just opened. And there are so many – sorry, say that again?
Sorry, I bet that's going to taste amazing. I want to go there.
Of course, anything she does is really delicious, really spectacular. Yeah. And then another favorite who I would say isn't quite of the superstar status of all these other chefs, but who has a great cult following, especially in Europe. And I'm kind of like a groupie. I travel around to all the cities where his restaurants are, is this chef Alain Ducasse. And if I just tell you a little bit about him, he is actually the favorite chef of Prince Albert of Monaco. So, you know, what a great high-profile customer to have a special table for reserved at your restaurant, you know, royalty from one of the most glamorous places in the world. Right along the French Riviera, and he has restaurants in Monte Carlo and Paris and Hong Kong and Tokyo, London, so I always try and eat at some of his places, and his food is insane, and his philosophy is very similar to mine because he's really dressed up cuisine and made it a very elegant kind of luxurious experience, but he's also done it in a way that, you know, you might think when I say that it's a lot of butter and a lot of oil and it's very heavy, but he loves healthy cooking and fresh, lighter food. So he's an artist in many ways. So those are some of my favorites. Of course, Ina Garten. I don't know if you know the Barefoot Contessa. I think she's great. I've met her a couple times, and she's a really nice person. So, yeah, all of these people I just think are fantastic. How about you? Who are your favorites?
My favorites are, well, Rachel Ray. She's always been
right?
my favorite.
Right? I know. That's a good choice. She's so much fun to watch.
Yes. Well, you actually named some that I never even heard of, so I'm going to have to go search in on YouTube or something.
Go do some Googling. Absolutely. They have good recipes. I think if you like the Cool Bites food, you'll probably like the food from all these chefs, too.
Yes, yes, absolutely. And is that kind of a dream or goal of yours, you know, sometime down in the future of, like, having your own show? That would be really
cool. Oh, yeah. I mean, totally. I'm developing a fun show back in the entertainment space, and my roots in acting right now. So that's just getting off the ground. But I think doing a cooking show would be really extraordinary. And I'm always out there looking for new opportunities to share my message, I suppose, and my goals of inspiring, you know, kids and families to be healthier, to do it one cool bite at a time, so to speak. And I've had the chance to cook on TV on many different platforms, which has been a great honor, like the Today Show or Good Morning America or The Talk on CBS and many of these other shows. But I think having a platform in the kitchen of my own would be a dream come true for sure.
Oh, yeah. I would watch it. Come on. I'd be the first.
Oh, thank you. I'm so glad. Excellent. Yes. I think we should do one together. What do you think about that?
There you go. I'm in. Come on. I'm in.
Absolutely. We should start writing the script. We'll pitch it. It'll be on the air before the next edition of The Josie Show.
Yes.
How about that?
There you go. See, I'm all in. I'm already writing it all down. No.
I love it.
That is so cool. And, you know, on a little side note here, we got a question. I do not want to lose it. It's in the chat room. Let's see here. JWeeks4184, but her name is Jackie. She asks, Reed, do you have any siblings?
Ah, interesting question. I do not. I've had a lot of pets, though. I don't have any siblings. It's just me. So mom, dad, and me, the three of us, and, of course, a big extended family. A lot of cousins, though. I mean, let me tell you what I don't have in brothers or sisters. I probably have, like, a million cousins. I have I'm trying to think, at least three, maybe five. I can't even count in Florida alone, probably 10 in, like, North and South Carolina. I have a cousin here in New York. I mean, just all across the country, I guess. So I have a lot of cousins, and I've had, I mean, how many dogs? All at different times, one at a time, maybe four. I'm thinking of getting a dog now, so if anybody wants to go in the chat rooms and give me any advice on what breed to get, that would be very much appreciated because I'm at a loss. I know there are things like corgis and terriers and retrievers, but I don't know which is which. And I've had fish. So that's about it, but never any siblings, no.
Pets count, though. Come on. Pets.
They do, right? I know.
You're
exactly.
You all
get presents around the holidays, you and your pets. So, you know, that's like all the criteria that I need.
That's what I'm saying, definitely. I mean, I have a dog, a dachshund.
Oh, cool.
He's so cute. He's so cute. So you should definitely get a dachshund. Because,
I love dachshunds. Dachshunds were big on iCarly. They were all around the iCarly studio, like little dachshund figurines. What is your dachshund's name? What's his name?
Toby,
I love that name. That's similar, like Toby Maguire, the Spider-Man from a couple of years ago, right? That's so cool. Excellent name.
Absolutely. So there's my recommendation for you.
Thank you. It's a good one.
Yes. And another thing that I wanted to really get out, because I know a lot of your new fans out there or people that have seen you on iCarly and just found out you have a book called Cool Bites, where can we go to purchase this book? The best place?
Of course. Thank you for asking. You can find it in any bookstore near you. So from Barnes & Noble to Books and Books, you name it. It's out there on all those shelves. It's also online. You can check it out and find all the links to purchase the book at any of your favorite places, from Amazon to Books A Million and IndieBound on coolbites.com. We have all of that information there for you. But really easy just to point and click if you want it delivered to your doorstep. Do check it out at any bookstore. And maybe you can even come to some of our upcoming book signings. That would be really fun.
Yes, definitely. I'm going to have to check and make sure that I go to one of those. That would be so much fun.
Thanks, Josie. I'd love to see you there.
Yes. I actually have your book, Cool Bites, on my iPhone. So if you just find my iPhone, that'll work, right?
Excellent. And you know what? You got it. You can all sign the iPhone. Maybe the case. You might get sick of seeing my signature, but you can always take the case on and off. But that's another good point. You can always download the e-reader version. I have it on my iPad, actually, and that's how I keep up to date with everything that I've cooked in those pages when I'm on the road. It's so easy to take with me. So if you want to download it online, you can often find some special prices as well. Just something to think about.
Yes, I love that. I love that. And, you know, with great technology now, with like Amazon, and you can get it on your iPhone stuff, you can take it on the go, you can do whatever you want. But then also, if you're one of those people that like a hard copy, which I do, I really still love those, then you can get it there as well on the website.
Absolutely. I love a hard copy too. And speaking of technology, can we just divert here and talk about Twitter, my favorite obsession? I'm so glad we've gotten to know each other through social media. How much fun is it to tweet out these messages in 140 characters, or to Instagram, which is my newest craze? I love it all, right?
Yes, I love it. I'm telling you, I probably wouldn't have gotten you on the show if it wasn't for social media. So big.
I'm so glad we were able to use that to get connected. I know. You know, you really do come across so many amazing people. I mean, I can just speak from experience meeting you and all my good friends in the social media world who I've had the chance to meet in person through these innovations. I sometimes wonder, I used to say, what did we do before the iPhone? Now I say, what did we do before Facebook or Twitter or Instagram, or now there's a new one, Shots, something like this. I mean, what did we do before any of these innovations? It's been really fun.
That's what I'm saying. It's so cool, and especially for you, because you're able to connect with your fans, and you have fans from all over the world, so it's very easy to connect with them with 140 characters or less.
Exactly. It's really fun, and I'm very grateful that they tweet back, which is always a blast.
Yes. That is super cool. And you just joined Shots, and that was like a huge thing. Like, people were able to find it before you even announced it.
I was so shocked. I was shocked. I was shocked because I signed up for Shots, which is, I think, Justin Bieber's new, like, selfie-friendly social media site. And it's a shame. I wish I had done it last week, because I just went to the Katy Perry concert in Madison Square Garden, and she did the coolest thing. I wasn't lucky enough, but I'm a big Katy fan, but she went over to one fan down in kind of the pit area on the ground right up by the stage, and she did a selfie with them. She literally laid down on the stage, took a selfie with one of these fans, and uploaded it. And if I had had Shots, maybe the fates would have worked out that she would have come to find me in the audience. Who knows? I just signed up, and I think they posted a message. I linked it to my other accounts, and I guess maybe my Twitter followers were able to see that I signed on there. So I've been trying to follow some good people, but can you believe I have yet to post? I've always been a bit intimidated by a selfie, but I promise I will try to get – I think it's like anything, you know, practice makes perfect. Maybe never perfect when it comes to my selfies, but hopefully a little more decent than I can do now.
You could do it. You could do it. My first selfie was a mess, so it's all right. Practice is perfect. Everyone regrets the first selfie, but then after the first one, you're good. You're golden.
Right. And, you know, I'm at NYU now, and they have so many courses on, like, social media and digital communications. I'm waiting for the day when they allow people to sign up for Selfie 101, a crash course in the art of taking pictures of yourself with your iPhone. Can you imagine? But I will sign up for that, and then I'll start doing Shots. Yes, definitely. Oh, that sounded so terrible. You have to be careful when you use the name Shots in a sentence. You have to be very clear about the context.
Yes. You have to be really careful. But, you know, I know a lot of people have Twitter and Facebook and all those websites, and now you have Shots and Instagram. Can you give out some of the best links that people can find you and chat with you?
Oh, sure, definitely. I totally will. So Twitter, you can check out my page, Reed Alexander, all one word, R-E-E-D, Alexander. That's my Twitter page. Instagram, which I'm just getting into, so hopefully people will give me some real and genuine comments on my pictures and tell me if they're a thumbs up or thumbs down. That's the real Reed Alexander, and those links also have other links as well to Shots and Facebook, and you can find me there. So hopefully everyone will get involved in the conversation. I love meeting new people and getting to talk with everyone at home on these sites.
Yes, everyone, please make sure you do that right after the show. Start tweeting and all that fun stuff. Do it.
Thank you, Josie.
And yes, yes. And while you're at it, post a selfie and give it to Reed Alexander. Oh, gosh, we started something here.
If we go viral, I'm crediting you. And you're at Josie's show, right? You have really good stuff that you put up. Everyone needs to follow you. That's essential.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Yes, I followed you. You know, I definitely followed you actually a while ago. And you followed me back, and I was like, what?
I was so thrilled when you clicked follow. I get all the little notifications, and I love to see who's joining in our community online. So thanks so much for seeking me out and getting involved. And I hope to stay in touch with you. It was so much fun to talk with you on air.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. It's so much fun. We'd love to have you back on anytime. That would be so great.
Thanks.
Anytime,
big
anytime.
Compliment.
Yes, yes. And, you know, like you said kind of in the beginning of the show, you made an appearance not too long ago on Sam and Cat, and I know people are going to want me to ask these questions, and I don't want to get in trouble. So a couple questions.
Go for it. Yeah, bring it on. I hope we have a lot of good questions coming in online.
Perfect. Yes, we were getting a lot of messages before the show, actually, on Twitter and Facebook, of your appearance on Sam and Cat, and they're wondering, will they see you on the TV anytime soon? Are you continuing to do acting?
Absolutely. That's a really good question. I have a new show I'm working on. It's not out quite yet, but I've been working on it for a while, and I'm having the chance now to be behind the scenes as well as in front of the camera. So not only acting, but working on the kind of behind-the-scenes production. And I can't say too much. You know how it is. It's
right.
Always kind of under wraps. But, yes, I will be back on TV screens really, really soon, and I certainly hope everyone will tune in for this exciting new project. I'm so excited about it.
That is so exciting. Well, I cannot wait to check it out. I definitely will be a viewer, and I'm very excited
about
that.
Thank you so much.
Nope,
I love to hear that. That's really cool.
Yes, yes. And another really important question that people wanted me to ask was with iCarly, because I used to watch – that was like my childhood. I mean, seriously. I used to watch –
awesome.
Yeah, on iCarly as Neville, I'll rue the day. You guys know who I'm talking about. What was it like playing a mean character like Neville? Because obviously you're not mean at all. So what was that like?
Oh, thank you. Well, guess what? If I don't have lunch, it's very easy to get into character, let me tell you.
Right.
If I don't have lunch, I don't get like minimum 4 hours sleep. No, but that's very kind. You know, it's so much fun. I love being Neville. And being Neville then, again, most recently on Sam and Cat was really cool.
Mm-hmm.
To kind of bring back all those famous Neville moments that the viewers really enjoyed. I mean, it's such a release playing a villain. I have to tell you, there is nothing like screaming and losing your head off on camera. I mean, it's so much fun. It is the best. It is so therapeutic and cathartic, and you just kind of save up your frustrations, and then you just release them when the cameras are rolling. But the thing about Neville was he was so crazy that every time I would get a new script for Neville, I always had to prepare myself for, like, more and more and more. He started out really polished, and he was that interviewer on Nevelocity and kind of, you know, snuck a kiss to Carly prematurely and then got punished with the tapenade, and then it all went downhill from there. But, yeah, being this character has been so much fun. But the one drawback is that I would say so many kids, especially the younger ones, actually, it's kind of rare, but if you add up all the years that they've been watching, you know, it gets up there. If you're like 4 or 5 and you're just starting to watch the show, Neville comes across as really convincingly evil, like he's lost his mind. So these kids, if I see them in the street, will like hide behind their parents. They get really shy. They need like a shield because they're so intimidated. They think I'm really going to, you know, smash their jar of dill pickles or lose my mind, the bread and butter pickles, and go crazy. And they believe that I am the character. So that's been the one thing I've always had to say. No, we leave the Rue the Day moments behind on stage. We leave that back in Los Angeles. But really, really fun overall. And, you know, working with people like Dan Schneider, who's the creator of the show, I mean, he's such a visionary, and it's been probably the biggest honor to learn from him because it's taught me so much about comedy, which I love, making people laugh, and the way TV works. He's had an unbelievable career, and he will continue to. And the whole team on these shows and all the co-stars, it's been wonderful, and we've all stayed in touch and stayed good friends through the years. And then, of course, being back and seeing some of our friends on Sam and Cat was another spectacular opportunity.
Yes, I bet. I bet it was really cool seeing Jeanette McCurdy again. And then also you got to meet Ariana Grande, which is probably
so much
fun.
Well, actually, guess what? I will just tell you, Ariana and I grew up in the same hometown. We're both from Boca.
Uh-huh.
And we went to the same school. Guess what? This is insane. We met each other very briefly years ago. We went to the same school, Pinecrest, and that's where we grew up. And I was in drama club, and I'm pretty sure she was too. And I've been a huge fan of hers for years. But then we went out for dinner long before Victorious, her show, before Sam and Cat ever came out in Florida. We both love Chinese food. And we went out to a Chinese restaurant and had a chance to talk and get to know each other. And we've stayed friends since then, and I am a huge fan of her whole family. Her mom is amazing. Ariana is so, so great. I saw her recently, probably last week, I think it was, at a concert in New York, or maybe even the week before. She was pre-taping a great show for her NBC Macy's Fireworks Special for July 4th. And her voice is unbelievable, but those of us who have known her over the years have always known, you know, that her singing talents are second to none. So to see her explode onto the scene through her music was really very satisfying. It was kind of like coming full circle. But the thing is, I've known Ariana for years. I've never worked with her, though, until Sam and Cat the past few months. So it was really, really nice to be on set for our special show before the KCAs and to have the chance to team up and act against each other, you know. And our characters couldn't be more different. I mean, Cat Valentine, you know, the nicest, the sweetest, everybody loves Cat, versus Neville, who's like the most evil. He's like Voldemort of the iCarly world, you know.
It's true.
One room, so crazy. And, of course, Jeanette, you know, I've known through iCarly now, I guess, 7 years. So really fun, again, to see how she's had so much success and then to be acting with her for a second time on a different show.
Yeah, I bet it was, like, such a reunion getting to see all of them again. It was
definitely, it totally was, absolutely. And, of course, meet new people like Cameron, who plays Dice, and some of the guest stars on that time, and then be with Gibby again, Noah Monk, who was also on that episode. I mean, really great all around.
That is so, so cool. And, you know, I know a lot of people are very, very excited to see you on the screen again, for sure. But, you know, going back to your book, will there be another book coming out?
Oh, my gosh, I'm so excited. I haven't really announced all the details on this, but I am in the kitchen right now developing a whole new set of another dozens and dozens of recipes for a new Cool Bites cookbook. It's going to be number 2. It's going to be a little different this time, but because of the great reaction and really the global response to the first book from New York to London to Sydney, Australia, and everywhere else, we just couldn't resist. And I think once, you know, I've always loved writing. I've been writing a column now for the Huffington Post as well, which has been fun because I've gotten to talk about, you know, my advice for lifestyle, et cetera. But once you start to do that, especially with the book publishing world, which is so different than anything that I've known over these years, so it was a really cool experience to have a glimpse into that through the Cool Bites cookbook. You get hooked. It's like it just kind of bites you and you can't not bite back. So I'm very, very excited about this. Absolutely.
That is so exciting because, I mean, I figured you probably have so many recipes that can, you know, not fit in one book, your first book. So I was like,
There's so many kinds of foods I like to eat.
Yes.
You know, I'd need like a Cool Bites encyclopedia to fit everything I love to eat just regularly. So then to turn that into recipes, hopefully we'll be able to fill many volumes over the years. Fingers crossed.
Yes, I definitely believe there will be. I think that is so cool. And another great thing about your book is you have, you know, for each meal of the day, and especially dessert. Now, a lot of people, when they think dessert, they're like, oh, tons of sugar and, you know, cookies and all
that. Of course, off limits, right? It's like taboo, absolutely.
Right. Exactly, exactly. But then when you tell a kid, you know, it's healthy, then they automatically think that it doesn't taste good. But you put great desserts in your book that also taste delicious, and they're desserts. So tell us about that.
I'm so glad you brought this up because the thing is, you know, I love all the chapters. I love all the recipes. I really love the desserts. So that's always the place I flip to because I really do open the book and cook some of the recipes for fun myself. And desserts, I mean, I have a big sweet tooth. I can't imagine a world without chocolate. I think there would be no reason to go on. I mean, it would defeat all purpose for me. So there had to be some really delicious desserts. It was not an option to skip that. So you will find in the book everything from molten lava chocolate souffle cakes to peanut butter chocolate chip cookie bars, but not just chocolatey things and not just overly sweet things either. There's a vanilla bean and almond angel food cake, which is insane. There is apple pot pie, It's like a deep dish apple pie that you dig into. But here's the thing. It has no butter. And whenever I say that, people are instantly like, you know, blasphemy, arrest him. How can you make apple pie without butter? You know, it's like totally exploiting the tradition of one of the most beloved American desserts. But the thing is, I actually have this really cool technique that I use where I simmer some unsweetened applesauce, because, of course, applesauce, apple pie, it's all on the same theme, on the stovetop with some raw sugar, which is a little bit better for you than white sugar. And then I use all different spices that are aromatic and flavorful that smell amazing, and they combine. So cinnamon and allspice, nutmeg, cloves, and I toss the fresh apples in that. And, you know, butter is really there to give them moisture and the richness. Well, this does it for you without any of the fat. It's so cool. And then you layer it into your ramekins, so it's deep dish. You can really kind of excavate layer by layer with your spoon when they're done. And you top it off with, like, a streusel crumb topping. Really beyond delicious. And then there are refreshing things now for the summer. Watermelon lime ice pops that you just pop into the freezer. Couldn't be simpler. Chai poached pears. I'm thinking off the top of my head about some of the amazing desserts that you'll find. So many different options. I mean, carrot cupcakes, you name it. Really great stuff. And there will definitely be desserts in this second book as well. But I think of all the chapters that I've gotten the biggest response on, like you said, you know, what kid doesn't love dessert? But when you do think healthy, you think maybe you're going to eat cardboard. Not in the case of this set of Cool Bites recipes. That was not an option for me.
Right, absolutely. And I have to mention another thing that everyone has to try, because like I said, I got your book, biscotti bites. Now, those are Italian cookies for nobody that knows what biscotti bites are. And oh my goodness, they tasted just like the same ones, except healthier.
Get out! Oh my gosh, I'm so happy you say that. That is so cool.
Yes, and it's so funny because my grandmother is, I mean, she speaks only Italian, and she was from Italy. And so I made her try it. I didn't even tell her what it was. I was just like, hey, a biscotti. And she tried it, and, you know, she tried it plain, and she's like, ooh, these are really, really good. And I'm like, well, they're from this book, Cool Bites, and they're healthy for you. And she's like,
I'm so thrilled. I know, I can't even tell you. The fact that, number one, you made them and then share them with your grandmother, who is like an Italian transplant, who sounds like the coolest person. I want to come over just to eat, you know, some of her recipes, which I'm sure are delicious, is honestly the highest praise. So thank you for saying that. And that's the thing. I discovered biscotti years ago when I first went to Italy. I was sitting in a little cafe. I think it was called Cafe La Romantique was the name, in Rome. I remember it really clearly. And I ordered in the afternoon, because I'd gone there a couple times for breakfast as well, just a cup of tea. I'm always drinking tea. And some biscotti to dunk into the tea. And it changed my life. It became my favorite cookie. Couldn't live without it. There was like, again, it goes in the chocolate category. It's like a must-have. You know, people say you need bread and water to survive, but I would add probably some kind of biscotti derivative to that list. It's my favorite thing because the crunch is so amazing. And then I decided when I made the book, you know, I couldn't include all these different cookies that I have without doing biscotti, but I figured it's got to be really good because it is a hard balance. It's really, literally it's hard. I mean, it has to be really, really crunchy. So it's fun. Biscotti, you probably know this. Cotti means like cooked or baked. And bis in Spanish as well means twice. So it's twice cooked cookies. You bake them once. You slice them into the long spears or the strips, or in my case, they're a little shorter. And then you spread them out on the baking sheet on their side again, and you rebake them. And baking them twice and then once they're sliced allows you to kind of pull out all the moisture from them. And people think, why do you want like a dry cookie? Well, in this case, it's not just making it dry, it's making it really, really hard. And that's what you're looking for. So then you can dunk it in and it soaks up tea or coffee or whatever you're serving it with. I mean, it's the best thing. I even have them for breakfast sometimes. And a little secret is every time I travel, and I do travel a lot, is I'm always in the kitchen the day before making one of two things, either the biscotti bites, and I bring them in little cellophane, like wrappers, whatever. I just bring them on the plane because it's like my survival kit. Or I make the cool crunch bars in the book, which are my homemade granola bars, one or the other. And it's the only way I can survive sometimes being in the airport. They just are lifesavers.
Absolutely. I mean, they're just delicious. They really, really are. And you, I like that you like all sorts of different foods, whether it be, you know, Italian, I mean, Japanese, doesn't matter. You like all sorts of food. And just like me, I love to try. I'm a foodie, so I love trying, like, every single thing.
You know, if we were in the studio right now and I wasn't on the phone, yeah, I'd give you a very big high five, and then we'd have to go check out a good restaurant. What is your number one favorite food, if I can turn the tables and ask you a question? What do you love?
Oh, goodness. I'd have to say it's a tie between pizza and spaghetti, and just I also love you made a breakfast pizza, I think it was.
I did. Oh, my gosh. You really have taken some time to get to know this cookbook. Thank you. I did make a breakfast pizza because I figured if you can't, I mean, you can't just not have pizza for dinner. You could have, like, a whole daily pizza party. You could have pizza for breakfast with the breakfast pizza, which is, like, you cook a layer of eggs. It's really good, actually, like a frittata, and then top it with all these good things, cheese and mushrooms and spinach, and slice it up into triangles, and it's really fun. And kids who might not want to eat, like, a boring omelet will love the idea of a breakfast pizza, and the eggs are the crust. And then for lunch, you can have one of those salad pizzas that are in the schools. And then for dinner, there's a flatbread pizza in Cool Bites, and you literally can have three meals a day. I don't have any pizza snacks. Maybe in the next book we'll do pizza bites to fill in the in-between hours, but otherwise we've covered all the big meals with pizza for sure.
Yes, I think that is awesome because I definitely love pizza, so, and I love trying different kinds of pizzas, and I love trying, you know, my favorite foods, I love trying different kind of versions of them. That's, like, really fun for me.
So totally.
It was really cool. Yeah, it was really, really cool to see all the different ways that you can make pizza.
Thank
really
you. Neat. Oh, I so agree. There are a million kinds of pizza. The one I have in my book is a margarita pizza flatbread with mozzarella and tomatoes and basil, and I just love that. And there are some special twists, and that's like my go-to, but I'm always up. I used to only eat pizza. This is so funny. Whenever we would order it in, because like I told you, we always grew up kind of like the fast food or takeout, you know, mindset because it saved so much time, was we would have to order a half of it with broccoli because I only would eat the pizza with broccoli, and I eat like two slices that night, and I have it the next day. So anytime people don't like broccoli, especially kids, I'm like, try it on pizza. It will change your entire thought process towards the little green vegetable that looks like a tree, you know? Turn it on its head. It's so good on pizza, I promise. Everybody has to order this now.
It's true. It's true. And that's the really smart thing, going back to your book, that's the really smart thing is you teach us kind of to make our own foods but then also kind of substitute the bad stuff. If you don't like broccoli, then you put it in something.
Exactly. Of course. No, mix it into things you do love. And, of course, it's so good for you that you get all the antioxidants. I mean, that's maybe what some people would consider the less fun side. The point is it just tastes good, you know. And for me, that's the focal point, too. So you're right. If there's something you're not, like, totally loving and all over, yeah, definitely incorporate it into something you do like. And before you know it, you know, you'll be a big fan.
Exactly, exactly. And a little off topic here, there is a chat room question. Jackie, going back to iCarly, she asks, in that Christmas episode of iCarly, what was that kissing scene like with Miranda?
That's a funny question. That's a throwback. Do we have, I know it's Monday. Is there like a flashback Friday, but a Monday version?
There you
I'm
go.
Trying to think, because in this case, that would be a throwback to an episode closer to the beginning of iCarly. This must have been 2008, I'm thinking. It was really crazy because, you know, Miranda is a good friend, Miranda Cosgrove, who played Carly. Mm-hmm. And, you know, whenever you're on camera and you have to do like a kissing scene or something or hold somebody's hand who's a friend, it's kind of, I wouldn't say it's awkward, it's just, it's different because, you know, when you see your friend, what do? You run over, give them a big hug, you're working together, but it's so funny because you remember you're in a scene, you're acting, it's just part of the job, and, you know, we just did it and got through it, and then we all sat around the table and had lunch after when we broke for lunch that day, so it's just, it's the name of the game, you know, but Miranda is so cool. I mean, she's such a nice person, and I loved working with her throughout those years, and I know she will go on to do some really incredible things too, but such a talented actress, no question about it, and a really, really cool friend as well.
Absolutely. That was a great question, though. Thank you for sending that in.
Yes, thank you to Jackie for that question.
Yes, love it, love it. That was a good episode, so yes, definitely.
Thank you.
Yes. And a little fun question here for you. What are some things that you like to do for fun, some hobbies when you're not working? What are some fun things?
Oh, good question. I love just to kick back and relax and have fun. I mean, that's a long laundry list of things. I love reading good books. I'm starting a new one now about probably my favorite city ever. It's called Paris, and it was recommended to me by a relative of mine, and it, like, kind of, I think, bounces between all different ages in the City of Light. So it takes you from the 1300s to World War II, back to the Renaissance. It's crazy, all different parts of the history of Paris, but like in a fiction, like thriller. So reading is great. Always watching movies. Anything Star Wars related makes me very happy. Playing tennis, traveling. I love going to different countries or different places I've never been before. I mean, cooking is fun. Am I allowed to say that? I mean, I know I kind of do it for work, but it's still a hobby. I still sometimes make recipes that I don't post anywhere or don't put in, you know, a book, but I just do for fun. I'm trying to think, hanging out with friends, you know. Right now, it's the summer, going to the beach. All these things are really fun to do. And other hobbies, I mean, I don't know. All of a sudden, I've really gotten into the world of music. I'm obsessed. So always a big hobby of mine is filling up my iPod playlist. No question about that.
Right. And going on your Instagram, I don't know if it's a hobby, but you definitely can have a side job for it. You are so great at, like, photography. I see
Thank you.
Yeah. It's so cool. Like,
you don't know. That compliment just, like, made my month. That was the best.
I'm so
happy to hear that. Thank you so much.
No problem. It's awesome. And you guys have to check it out. If you guys aren't friends with him on Instagram, you definitely have to go to and see what I'm talking about.
I mean, I love following people there, so if anybody joins, I'd love to follow them and see their pictures. I mean, but honestly, though, I never was into Instagram, you know, maybe going back a year or 2 years ago, and it was really getting kind of huge. And in the last month, I don't know what it is, but I was looking through my phone the other day, and I thought, you know, I have so many pictures here that I really love to be sharing with the world, and I don't know if they're any good or not, but I just think they're kind of fun. So I've started Instagramming, and it's been a slow, steady process, and Twitter is still probably my main home. Instagram is more like a side thing for me, but it's forced me to look at life very differently, because I used to complain to people that I didn't have enough visual things every day, whether I was just kind of in the same studio or in the same kitchen, because some days, you know, you're not, like, out seeing new places and stuff and doing really cool stuff to fill up an Instagram page. But now, even if it's just taking a walk in Central Park, Instagram really forces me to think, are there any cool views I'd love to share with people? Because that's what it's all about. It's about giving people an insight into stuff that I think, I guess, is really cool that I want other people to enjoy too. So I'm trying. My secret is filters. I'm learning about the angles. I had a meeting with a photographer the other day, and she told me the secret is good lighting. So there's an hour called the golden hour. It's when the sun just starts to go down and everything looks beautiful, and it's filtering stuff, and that's a big help. Anything that you think is not great, I'm telling you, choose the mono filter, the black and white, instant hit.
Yes.
There's no question. It's like you're saving grace. Got to do it.
I agree. I definitely agree. And, you know, I think it's so cool, like we said before, about social networking. So everyone, after the show, remember, please like, subscribe, add, follow, all of the above. Make sure you do that. Reed Alexander.
Thank you so much. I so appreciate that. That's really awesome. Thank you.
Anytime. And we are running out of time, but there is one last question that I really want to get out here from Facebook. Kenza, she asks, where is your favorite vacation spot, and where would you like to go next?
This is the best question maybe ever. My favorite vacation spot has got to be Paris. I was just there last month. I was on an international tour, actually, one of my first ever for the book. We were in London to promote it, where it came out in the UK on all the British news channels, and then took an extra few days because you just take the tunnel and go to France, and it was so much fun. I mean, there's nothing like the food, the people, the culture of Paris. My next vacation is actually this week. I'm going to South Carolina, so if anybody's listening, shout out to Charleston. I will definitely Instagram some pictures there. I'm leaving in about 36 hours. And then my next big one is in October. So thrilled about this. For the first time in probably 4 or 5 years, I'm going back to Italy. We're going to go to Rome and Florence and then to France and Spain as well. So those are my favorites. I would say my favorite place for food would be Spain, because the tapas are crazy good. And the places I haven't been, because there are a lot of places I haven't been, I'd love to go. Just a short little list, because I know we are kind of down to the wire here. I would say Hong Kong is top of my list. Would love to go there. Tokyo for sushi. I'd love to go to Bora Bora because it just, I mean, it's fun to say. And it's a good island destination, I hear. And then Dubai is supposed to be like the coolest, fast-paced city. So all of these places I'd love to go. And now I'm so bummed that I missed the whole World Cup. I had a month opportunity. There were like weeks that I could have gone to Rio. That would have been a cool trip. But I think they were probably sold out, all the tickets, as of like 2003. So I probably missed that. But I'd love to go to Latin America too.
Absolutely. Well, that is so great, and I hope you do, and I hope you take tons of pictures of everywhere you're going.
I promise I will. I'll try my best. I'll only post the good ones with the good filters.
Oh, you're awesome. Thank you so much for taking your time and coming out to the show. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Josie. I had a blast. Amazing questions. Thanks for the invite and for picking up Cool Bites. I hope you have a really good week, and so nice to talk to you this evening.
Absolutely. You too. I hope you have a great, great weekend, and thank you so much. And I hope we could do this again in the future. It was a lot of fun.
I would love it. I am totally on board anytime. That would be a blast. Thank you so much.
Perfect. Thank you. Have a great rest of your night. Talk to you soon.
Take care, Josie. Bye-bye. Thanks.
Take care. Bye-bye. Reed Alexander, everybody. Woo-hoo. Yes. Yes. Thank you all so much for tuning in, and thank you all so much for all of your great, great questions on Facebook and also in the chat room there. Thank you all so much. And I wanted to talk a little bit about our station, and then I have some announcements before we wrap up because we are running out of time, but I really want to get through all of this. So remember, we have a 24/7 licensed country music radio station, Country Blast Radio, and we play the best mix of all that is country from signed and independent artists. And you can hear us and check out what is going on, including station contests at countryblastradio.com. And since we are worldwide on Live 365, you could also hear us at live365.com, their website, by searching Country Blast Radio. And then do not forget to make us your preset. We would love that. And also, you can download the free Live 365 app, Live 365, on your iPhone or Droid, and just search Country Blast Radio, and you'll see me with my little cowgirl hat on, and you'll see which one we are. And so please make sure you check that out. And you can hear us in the car, outside for your barbecue, at work, shopping, wherever you'd like to go. We will follow you with great music. And we are highly ranked on Live 365 and number 3. Wow, we are still steady at number 3. I think that's amazing. In hot country hits worldwide, ahead of many FM stations. So I have only you guys to thank for that. Thank you so much for tuning in and requesting and checking out countryblastradio.com. And you could also hear the Josie Show live show on Country Blast Radio each Friday night. So it's all great. And also, I hope you guys seen the announcement that I posted on via Facebook and Twitter. I posted about we are now a reporting station for the charts. Through Country Blast Radio, which is super, super exciting, and I was just so thrilled to find out this information today. So I'm just super, super excited, and thank you all so much for the congratulations on Facebook and Twitter. We really, really appreciate it. And if you would like to advertise on Country Blast Radio or become a sponsor on The Josie Show, please, all you have to do is contact our executive producer, Tina, by emailing tina@josieshow.com or by phone at 331-442-5833. That number again is 331-442-5833. And there isn't a better time to spend your advertisement dollars than on radio and get worldwide attention to your business. It's great for online businesses or those with multiple locations. We do it all. So I hope you guys check out all that information. Remember, tina@josieshow.com. And also, I wanted to thank everyone for our 2 nominations in the Independent Country Music Association Awards for 2014. We were nominated for Most Indie-Friendly Radio Show, and I was nominated for Most Indie-Friendly DJ. So I am just super humbled, super honored that you all thought of me and put me in there. I'm super, super grateful. Thank you all so much. And we have a special edition, we have more special edition shows for Monday. The first one here is Monday, July 21st. We feature Jillian Jensen. You guys may know her from X Factor, and she was also on American Idol. And on July 28th special edition, we feature Katie Armiger. So it's going to be so great. So I hope you guys stay tuned to that. And remember our regular Friday night shows, Josie Show. So tune in, and thank you all so, so much for tuning in. Good night, everybody. Woohoo!